Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group, and this is Corinne. So excited that you all are here to share this space with one another and strengthen these ideas in our minds. So let's begin by dropping in, closing our eyes, and turning our attention within to that quiet space where Spirit abides. It's a place within that is very real. And if we're choosing to look away from it to the external happenings of the world, it can seem like that inner voice goes away. But it's just that we're choosing to listen to something else. So touching upon your own sense of willingness to connect with this space within, this part of our mind, our very own mind, where Holy Spirit abides, which is our right mind.
Wait a minute.
And breathing, taking a nice mindful breath in and out. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice, deep, mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of this time and place. Oh, so we're going to pick up where we left off last week, and we'll actually reread two of the paragraphs that we read at the end of last week's call. We are going to start with the section, it's called The Healed Relationship, in all three editions. In the Sparkle edition, it's page 411. Again, Sparkle, page 411, The Healed Relationship. In the Course in Miracles Society original edition, it is chapter 17, part 6. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 17, part 5, The Healed Relationship. So we've been talking for a while now about special relationships versus holy relationships. So that's what we'll be continuing with in our reading tonight. So as I mentioned before we started recording the call, I'm going to read the first three paragraphs of this section, since we are rereading two and adding on a new one. And just a reminder, if anybody, I am hearing a little bit of background noise. If you do have background noise, if you wouldn't mind pressing star 6 to mute your line, or if you have a mute button on your phone, that works too. Thank you so much. All right, The Healed Relationship. The holy relationship is the expression of the holy instant in living in this world. Like everything about salvation, the holy instant is a practical device witnessed to by its results. The holy instant never fails. The experience of it is always felt. Yet without expression, it is not remembered. The holy relationship is a constant reminder of the experience in which the relationship became what it is. And as the unholy relationship is a continuing hymn of hate and praise of its maker, so is the holy relationship a happy song of praise to the Redeemer of relationships. The holy relationship, a major step toward the perception of the real world, is learned. It is the old, unholy relationship transformed and seen anew. The holy relationship is a phenomenal teaching accomplishment. In all its aspects, as it begins, develops, and becomes accomplished, it represents the reversal of the unholy relationship. Be comforted in this. The only difficult phase is the beginning. For here, the goal of the relationship is abruptly shifted to the exact opposite of what it was. This is the first result of offering the relationship to the Holy Spirit to use for his purposes. This invitation is accepted immediately, and the Holy Spirit wastes no time in introducing the practical results of asking him to enter. At once, his goal replaces yours. This is accomplished very rapidly, but it makes the relationship seem disturbed, disjunctive, and even quite distressing. The reason is quite clear. For the relationship as it is out of line with its own goal and clearly unsuited to the purpose which has been accepted for it. In its unholy condition, your goal was all that seemed to give it meaning. Now it seems to make no sense. Many relationships have been broken off at this point, and the pursuit of the old goal reestablished in another relationship. For once the unholy relationship has accepted the goal of holiness, it can never again be what it was. And there I shall pause. So I suppose I'll just say a few things that stand out to me, and I believe I said some of this last week, that the holy relationship is learned. So it's not a black or white thing. I've never felt comfortable, and it's always sort of made me scratch my head a little bit when I've heard somebody else say that they have a holy relationship, because I don't know. I can't see the ego in it necessarily if I am coming from that perspective of the ego. So instead, this is saying that the holy relationship is learned, that that moment that both people in that relationship decide to give that relationship, the purpose of it, over to spirit, that the goal of that relationship is abruptly shifted, and that, you know, it might seem chaotic or disjointed for a little while, but the Holy Spirit immediately steps in to use the relationship now for a new purpose, which is to heal the separation rather than maintain the separation, which is always the goal of the special relationship. The goal of the special relationship is always to keep the separation going. So we'll get to a couple paragraphs from now talking about why that, when the Holy Spirit enters, why it happens rapidly. We'll get there, but this is just beginning to touch on that shift in purpose. So I'll pause there, and I'm just curious, does anybody have anything coming up for you so far? Any insights, questions, sharing, examples?
Just makes a lot of sense to me.
Right? It
Thinking
does, and
about,
it also makes, oh, go on.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it also makes sense how it goes on to say that, you know, many relationships have been broken off at this point, and then the pursuit of the old goal is looked for in another relationship, that, you know, we lose sight of the holy part of it, and instead, you know, sort of retreat back to the old goal. That in a way makes sense.
Back,
from, I can relate to that, but go on.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. I was thinking like how many relationships had been not, you know, not based in that. So then there's so much fear involved. Like you could lose it, or, you know, the person could leave to be with someone else, and all of these crazy things. And I'm just looking back, and just remembering that feeling. So different.
Right. Yeah. It is. Thank you, Paul.
Hi, Corinne.
Hey, Deidre.
I was just going to share like what you were saying before about not knowing where you are in terms of whether a relationship is special or holy. I really relate to that a lot, because there are certain relationships that are showing up in my reality where I'm like, I have no freaking clue. So I'm just, but I know, like, I'm really trying to hand things over to spirit the best that I can, and that's about all I do know. So I just wanted to share that because it really resonated.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. And that's, I am right there with you, where what I do know is that I'm willing. My willingness is through the roof, and I'm willing to take everything, take that relationship, take my beliefs, take everything to the Holy Spirit. I can say that with confidence.
Yeah.
But to lay that, you know, label of like, oh, this is a holy relationship, I have no freaking idea. And I'm willing, though, to learn, you know. I'm willing to be open to be shown, to learn through experience rather than thinking that I think it should be.
I think too it's you do that over and over as things come up, you know, or the appearance of things seems to come up. You just keep turning it over.
Right.
Because how would you know if something is holy or not unless you're, you know, like, I think not knowing is actually a sign of doing the work. As funny as that might sound, but like,
no, I agree.
I'm not the one to be judging that, because who else would be thinking that but the part of the mind that thinks it's actually Deidre?
Right.
So I don't know.
Yep. And I don't know is that place of just like you said of doing the work. It is the place of doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Of being open to be shown rather than thinking that we got it figured out, which, just like you said, is that part of the mind that thinks that it is small self.
Well, and it makes me think of, like, you know, those times where you think, I got this, you know, I really, like, I got this lesson down, and I understand what it means, and then something comes along and it's like, no, you don't.
Right.
So,
yep. I relate.
Yeah.
You know, something occurs to me in this not knowing. I think it takes a lot of trust.
Mm-hmm.
I had kind of a rough day, and I was asking Holy Spirit for direction and for help. And nothing seemed to be apparent to me, you know. But when I think back on it, everything really was quite miraculous in the way that it all went. I had to have my little cat put down just now. Yeah. And I knew for the past week that something just wasn't right with this animal. Mm-hmm. And today, she just wasn't moving. You know, she, just so long as she sat still, her breathing was so erratic, so awful. And, you know, I just thought, I'm going out in the garden. I'm working. And I worked all day in the garden and prayed all day, you know, for direction, what to do. And I just really didn't think about what to do. I just prayed for direction. My daughter called me up and said, why don't we go for a walk? So it was a good time to just go for a walk, and I was telling her about it. And we even went and got some dinner. And she said, why don't we go back to your house and just take a look at her and see how she's doing? And when we came back here, she was on the bed, and Mary Lou said, she looks peaceful. Well, once she jumped off the bed, that was it. I mean, she couldn't even, she had to sit right away. And again, it's like, what to do? And Mary Lou started talking about this Red Bank Animal Hospital and how wonderful it is. And she said, why don't we just take her up there? take a look. And I was going to wait to actually go to the vet tomorrow, but I said, you know what? You're with me. That's good. You know, I need some support in this. And we took her up, and sure enough, they said, you know, she's very bad off. And so I said, all right, let's go ahead and put her down. Oh, I hate making that decision. But you want to hear something lovely? And I stayed right with her, and they did it. And on the way home, now I have not seen a rainbow probably in 15 years.
Oh.
And damn it, I look out the window, and here's this rainbow. And it just, you know, the course is, nothing is at random, and mm-hmm. chance plays no part. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, isn't that wonderful?
Mm.
That was just so, it was so reassuring to me, because you don't, I mean, right to the last minute, they said, you could take her home tonight, but believe me, she'll be back here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
She had so much fluid in her, around her heart and lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I couldn't do that. But Lucy without Ethel, ooh, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really, so I'm praying for Lucy. But I'm telling you this because that place of I don't know is absolutely the best place to be, because I was able to function all day.
Mm.
You know, honestly, this morning I felt like I'm just going to stay in bed. I'm not getting out of bed. I mean, I was so unsure of what was going on with this animal. And I had just taken her to the vet like 4 days ago, and the vet seemed to think she was okay. But you know your animal. And every day she just seemed to get worse. And, of course, on Sunday you can't – what can you do on Sunday, you know? So rather than wait till tomorrow morning, this was just the perfect – it was perfect the way it played itself out. And that rainbow at the end was really an indication that it was the right thing to do. So the Holy Spirit works in that way, you know, but you have to trust.
Yeah. Oh, Paula. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you're absolutely, absolutely right that chance plays no part in God's plan for salvation. There are no mistakes in the fact that you saw a rainbow. What
well,
a
such
beautiful
confirmation of that, because, you
oh,
know, nobody wants to do this. Nobody wants to do this
mm-hmm.
with the animal. This is the hardest
mm-hmm.
thing to make that decision.
It is.
It's yeah. also interesting that your daughter called right after you could be handing it over.
And this morning when I talked to her, she was like, oh, I am so, you know, because I always ask her, you want to walk today? Because I'd love to walk, and she loves to walk. Now she said, Mom, I'm busy. I've got so much going on. And then for her to call back later in the day
yeah.
and say, you know, this isn't going to happen, so why, you know, I had something planned, but it's not going to happen. Why don't we go walk?
Mm-hmm.
It just played out. And when we get to the animal hospital, they took us right in. I mean, like, we were not there an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Because that, to me, is, well, you know, when you're in that situation and then you have to sit and wait and wait and wait and
right,
wait.
Right,
right. I'm telling you, it was just amazing the way it played itself out. But the rainbow was the topper.
Yep. Oh, my God.
The rainbow
what?
Was, that was confirmation. I have not seen a rainbow in a
oh,
long
beautiful.
Time. I just what got chills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Paula.
Paula,
you.
This
thank
is Pat. I'm new to the group, and I certainly feel your pain.
Oh.
I know how difficult it is, and one of my favorite sayings is that we're on a need-to-know basis. Thank God. You know?
Yeah.
And our animals are so smart. And they tell us what they need. They show us what they need. And they give us the strength to do what needs to be done. When I lost my beautiful lab, who was my soulmate, she knew I couldn't make the decision. And it happened so fast. You know, one morning she got up And I took her outside, and she couldn't stand up. We took her to the vet. The vet said he couldn't find anything wrong with her and sent her home. And that night, she finally jumped off the couch. I'd been with her all day. And she got off the couch and went in the bathroom and laid down on the floor and wouldn't get up. Uh-huh. So I laid down with her. And she waited until our daddy got home. And then she left. And it was a holy instant.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very holy thing.
It truly is a holy instant when that happens.
And so we're very blessed that, you know, we were able to share that last breath with him.
Wow.
But I wanted to read something from the book, A Return to Love, that I read earlier in the week, and it just startled me. And hearing you all and reading this passage, I'm beginning to get some feeling about that it is so true. It says, sometimes people think that calling on God means inviting a force into our lives that will make everything rosy. The truth is, it means inviting everything into our lives that will force us to grow.
Yeah.
And growth can be messy. Hmm. The purpose of life is to grow into our perfection. Once we call on God, everything that could anger us is on the way. Why? Because the place where we go into anger instead of love is our wall. Any situation that pushes our buttons is a situation where we don't yet have the capacity to be unconditionally loving. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw our attention to that and to help us move beyond that point. And I've been having some trouble in the relationship with my sweet, adorable husband, who has taught me how to be loved unconditionally. And I'll start off and I'll pray and, you know, God, please help me be more patient today. Help me show him how much I value and love him. And about midway through the day in the afternoon, I'm a raging idiot. And I'm going, you know, where is this coming from? You know, why am I so impatient with him? And it's this wall, you know, that I keep hitting and trying to knock down all by myself. And I can't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, only God and the Holy Spirit can. Mm-hmm. So thank you all for being here and let me sharing that. Mm-hmm. And my thoughts will be with you tonight, Paula, as you try to get used to your place in this world without your beloved Kitty. And Ethel is left.
No, Ethel is the one that went, and Lucy's left. She's sitting right here with me. And, you know, if she doesn't, I'm just going to take one day at a time with her. But, if you know, the other Burman that I had after my husband passed, that cat did not fare well. And if Lucy seems to not be taking this, I don't know. I'll get another kitten. I'll bring a kitten in for something.
That would be good for her.
I'll be directed, you know.
She'll tell you what she needs.
Yeah, I'm going to just take it one day at a time and just see how it plays itself out.
That's all we got. My other new favorite thing is be an inchworm. You know, we just inch along.
Yeah,
one little second to the next little
one
second.
One foot in front of the next, right?
Yeah.
And off we go. But with
go.
The Holy Spirit, we, you know, we're not doing
absolutely.
It alone. We're not doing
old,
this alone.
Hold hands with Spirit.
Yep.
Oh,
beautiful. That's it.
Pat, thank you so much for sharing all that. That just is so profound. And what you just said with being an inchworm, I love that. I love that, an inchworm. Like, that's so little. Such
it
a
is.
Little baby step. Oh, wow.
Thank you for allowing me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you
for sharing. Wow. You know, one of the things that comes forward for me just as I've been sitting here listening is just those, thank you, and also, Pat, thank you for reading from A Return to Love. That was a beautiful passage. That wall that Marianne Williamson was talking about, recognizing that, you know, it's through Holy Spirit that we allow these blocks to be undone. Ultimately realizing, you know, ultimately we come to realize we're asked to be vigilant while we still value what we think is here. And yet ultimately we come to a place of recognizing that we don't need to be vigilant because truth is that the walls that we think are there actually aren't. They're totally, totally fabricated, that they're not actually even there. And so that's been a comforting thought to me to think about it that way as well.
I like that.
Yeah. That belief that it's there will even just fall away when I'm ready to let it go, as I keep turning to Holy Spirit.
Right.
Wow. Thank you. And thank you, Paula. Paula, we'll all be siding with being willing to see only the truth.
Yeah.
Because as I shared, this is just one other thing that I'll just throw out there, and I know I think I shared this before. I won't get into all the details, but I was struggling with to eat meat or not to eat meat. That's all I'll say about details. And I heard the clearest, I heard Jesus' voice in my mind tell me, you cannot take away life. And that doesn't mean just animals. That means everything. That means if bodies seem to come and go in whatever form, whether it's an animal, whether it's a person, whatever form it is, that this isn't actual life. That the forms that seem to come and go, this is just our confusion, that this actually isn't life. Life has gone on before this dream seemingly started. It's been uninterrupted, and it's still there when we decide we're going to, you know, stop hanging on to this dream. So that came forward for me when, you know, you said it of course it seems like it's our decision because we're the one right there. And I've been in this situation before myself. And yet it isn't our decision, you know, just like you said with the rainbow, with just getting that confirmation of everything.
The rainbow was confirmation of exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. That was the feeling that just came up in me as soon as I saw it. Life is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
That little doll baby life is eternal. That love
and nothing
is eternal.
Can change that. Form
nothing.
Doesn't change that.
Yeah.
Form doesn't change that. It's eternal always. Always and forever. Thank God.
Thank God Almighty.
Hi Corinne. Hi everyone.
Hi Meg.
Hi.
Welcome.
Oh, it's Meg.
That was so beautiful, Corinne. So beautiful.
Thank you. It's coming forward from my own experience and from, you know, listening to Holy Spirit within.
You know, there, as we say all the time, there are no coincidences. And I started looking online yesterday for a group to be a part of and found this one, and it immediately jumped off the page at me. And I think I posted when I sent in my information that I didn't know if this was where I belonged, but, you know, we'd find out. And, of course, it's the perfect place for me, you know, to hear Paula's story. And I have another friend who lost her dog last night. But I'm ministering, mentoring with, not to, because she's certainly my mentor, too, a very dear friend of mine whose nephew took his life about a month ago. And she was the one that found him. And I sat Friday with her. She had said she needed a holy listener, and I sat Friday with her and listened to her. And I had heard it before, but she needed to repeat it all again. And when I got home, I couldn't figure out what was the matter with me. I just had to go to bed. And being a sensitive soul that I am, I had forgotten to let spirit be the one between us, mm-hmm. instead of me being the sponge and absorbing it all.
Oh.
And so for the past 2 days, I've been in a kind of a funky place. But it was interesting. One of my friends yesterday, she said, "You're a sponge. What cleans a sponge?" And I went, "Wow, vinegar." And I know this sounds strange, but I went in and drank a cup of Bragg's vinegar with honey and water, and it did help cleanse that out. You know, the Holy Spirit acts in mysterious ways. And I feel much better today. But from now on, I will let Spirit's hand hold her hand and my hand and be in the middle of that conversation.
That's the only way to listen to that, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's such an important reminder for all of us because, you know, we interact from our small self, whether it's listening to some, you know, to a painful story or whether it's just interacting with somebody at work. In every exchange, if we can remember to do that, to have, you know, Holy Spirit be there as the go-between, wow. thank you for that reminder, because that's a beautiful image that you painted by sharing it that way with Holy Spirit.
Thank
holding
you.
Both of your hands. Yeah. So helpful. Oh, wow. Would anybody else like to share before we do some more reading?
Hey, family.
Oh, hey, Carla.
Hey, I just something brief, and I hope it makes sense. Listening to the reading on the holy relationship, and that's very interesting. I just come to have understanding that holy relationship, holy is just innocent. So any relationship that I am involved in that is witnessing to love and to truth and who I really am, that speaks of holy relationship, that speaks of holiness to me. And I had a what I thought was, well, probably it was at that moment holy, but it ended very abruptly. And in my judgment, you know, it was very painful, and I'm still adjusting to it. Not being in my life anymore. I feel very angry that it's like another freaking lesson, and it only hurts because I became attached, and I still think I'm separate from God on some unconscious level, and it just frustrates me that I can still go there instead of to joy that the experience even came into my life. So anyway, I'm moving through and kicking and screaming, but I think I may have had some type of breakthrough today. I had a 90-minute massage. I just felt like I needed to kind of restore some balance, and I did a meditation with the Buddhist at the temple, so that does help too. But, yeah, I think I'm about tired of those damn lessons. I really am. I really, really think I am. The attachment to this, the attachment to that, the attachment to this. And if, you know, once it goes, you know, it brings up all sorts of fear and discomfort and anxiety. So, and it's funny because I think in my mind, like the other person, they don't give a shit. You know, they don't. Whatever it is that I'm working through, I don't imagine that that's their story. And I think that, you know, that's the story I tell myself, so that doesn't help either. But anyway, like I said at the beginning, I hope what I said made sense. But if it didn't, you know, just know that that's just the place that I'm in right now. So I hope y'all can see my innocence. And thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely, Carla, 100%. I'm willing to side with yours and mine and all of our purity, our innocence. I just want to comment. You said that, you know, that story perhaps that, you know, you tell yourself, and I think we've all, it's a familiar story to me too, to think that like, oh, I'm the one that's really wrestling with this and they just don't give a crap. Like, you know, they aren't thinking twice about it. Part of what I used to think about that came along with that, that I don't know if this has truth to it or not, but doing this work, we become more, because we're on a journey to become more and more honest and more transparent with Holy Spirit, we're more and more honest about what it is, you know, that we're really feeling. Whereas before, speaking from my own experience, I had more of an ability to stuff things or to ignore them or to deny them and just distract myself from them. Not that they weren't there, but that I could more easily distract from them, deny them. And therefore, although that might bring with it a seemingly, like, they're seemingly okay, what is that but just another, you know, another, I don't know if ego layer is the right term, but just another aspect that's going to have to be looked at some point. So the fact that you're feeling what you're feeling, how you said, you know, you feel frustrated that you still go there, but, you know, it's also okay to honor your feelings and to honor how it is that you feel and to still withhold nothing from Holy Spirit. So that frustration, though, I don't know if this is what you're also speaking to, how I relate to that is, for me, the same sorts of, and again, I don't know if this is what you're saying or not, but the same sorts of ego patterns that show up over and over and over and frustrated, like, oh, like, enough already, I'm done with this pattern, that, you know, there is that point that we get to when it's like, all right, enough, I'm not doing this anymore, and I'm digging my heels in, and I'm going to just, I'm looking to Holy Spirit, and I'm not looking to anything else. That's how I had to work with that, because my desire to go back and still mull it over or try to fix it or what could I have done, only, in a sense, keeps the pattern real and going versus, you know, that steadfast desire to say, like, enough, I'm not listening to you anymore. Small self voice, ego voice, whatever you want to call it, and that's that vigilance that I was mentioning before with, you know, vigilantly watching our minds and choosing for Holy Spirit. So those are just some random thoughts that came up for me that I felt moved to share. So thank you.
Thank you.
It also seems to be that wall that we keep running into that's not really there.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
That we talked about earlier. Is that part of the lesson again and again as we keep running into that wall that we think is there?
Yeah, yep. And all that wall is, again, is our belief that we're a separate self, our belief, or even, you know, the part of us that values being a separate self. It's the separate, all that wall is the belief in separation, and it shows up in many different forms, but that's all at the core that it is. That belief in separation. So going to that core belief, that's what has helped me so much, is constantly, you know, taking it to that level, and looking at that belief in separation with Holy Spirit, being willing to be shown that that isn't true.
I like that. And thank you for sharing. it doesn't make any difference whether you think you make sense or not. We hear it with holy
yeah.
ears.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you.
Oh, beautiful.
Hi. Has anyone ever heard of Mandy Salk?
I have not.
Okay. The reason why I asked that is because she has a small clip on YouTube. And Paula, I don't know if this might be any help to you, but it's kind of it's an odd clip, and she talks. It's not very long, and she's talking about how we're addicted to thought, and you know, a lot of our suffering comes from our mind, what our mind is thinking. And in the clip, she talks about when a thought comes to you, if you can just clip it off in the middle. And she gives like a really strange example as how to do that. And it's really an odd clip, but I found it very helpful. So I'm just offering this to you. She's a teacher, and it's one of the techniques that she uses. And I think it's kind of odd, but it's also kind of helpful. So if you would like to go to Mandy Salk on YouTube, and I think the title is Addiction to Thought or something about thought. And it's really short, but you might find it helpful.
Thank you, Meg.
You're welcome.
What's the last name?
S-O-L-K. Mandy Salk. And it's only about maybe 5 minutes. It's not even that long. But it's kind of like hypnotizing watching it. And it's a very useful thing, I mean, if you can do it. And I know I've been trying it. And it's a very interesting technique. So I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Because I know that our thoughts, sometimes we don't actually, we're hesitant. We sometimes get lost in our thoughts. And, you know, we're not even thinking about the Holy Spirit because we're just so caught up in the story. We are just inundated with the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, you know, offering that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
There's an excellent book called The Untethered Soul.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
By Michael Singer, and I found that very helpful. And another thing that I found helpful that I think the Holy Spirit gave me in the past few days was thinking of my thoughts as driftwood. You know, when I'm meditating and the thought comes up, to not give it any power, but to just put it on a piece of driftwood and kind of watch it float away.
It's beautiful. And then again, also there's just reading over in the Course of Miracles, just going over to the table of contents and just reading down the titles. That's
mm-hmm.
very, very helpful also.
Yeah,
very helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's
Thank
great.
Thank you, everybody, for sharing. Let's move ahead and let's read another paragraph. So at least when I save the recording later, we can have read more than one page. all righty. So we're on the temptation of the ego. Yeah, okay, great. The temptation of the ego becomes extremely intense with this shift in goals. So again, this is the shift in the goal from the special to the holy relationship, giving that relationship to the Holy Spirit. The temptation of the ego becomes extremely intense with this shift in goals. for the relationship has not, as yet, been changed sufficiently to make its former goal completely without attraction, and its structure is threatened by the recognition of its inappropriateness for meeting its new purpose. The conflict between the goal and the structure of the relationship is so apparent that they cannot coexist. Yet now, the goal will not be changed. Set firmly in the unholy relationship, there is no course except to change the relationship to fit the goal. Until this happy solution is seen and accepted as the only way out of conflict, the relationship seems to be severely strained. I'm going to read the next paragraph as well. It would not be kinder to shift the goal more slowly, for the contrast would be obscured, and the ego given time to reinterpret each slow step according to its liking. Only a radical shift in purpose could induce a complete change of mind about what the whole relationship is for. As this change develops and is finally accomplished, it grows increasingly beneficent and joyous. But at the beginning, the situation is experienced as very precarious. A relationship undertaken by two individuals for their unholy purposes suddenly has holiness for its goal. As these two contemplate their relationship from the point of view of this new purpose, they are inevitably appalled. Their perception of the relationship may even become quite disorganized. And yet, the former organization of their perception no longer serves the purpose they have agreed to meet. One more paragraph, bear with me. This is the time for faith. You let this goal be set for you. That was an act of faith. Do not abandon faith now that the rewards of faith are being introduced. If you believe the Holy Spirit was there to accept the relationship, why would you now not still believe that he is there to purify what has been taken under his guidance? Have faith in each other in what seems to be a trying time. The goal is set, and your relationship has sanity as its purpose. For now you find yourselves in an insane relationship, recognized as such in the light of its goal. All right, I will pause there. So this reading that I just did began with saying how the temptation of the ego to go back to the former goal of specialness, of separation, that sparkly, you know, tempting, I'm thinking back when we read about the frames, those, you know, rubies and diamonds that were actually not rubies and diamonds, but instead, you know, the gift of what the special relationship is hiding, which is this belief in separation and in death, that still looks appealing when in the initial stages of giving a special relationship over to Holy Spirit. And yet pretty much just what it's saying for the rest of the paragraph is that the goal now of holiness won't be changed, that that's it. And so that relationship has to change to meet that goal. It goes on to say, this is what I referenced earlier, that it wouldn't be a good idea to have a more gentle transition in this shift because that gives the ego time to reinterpret things to its liking, as it says. So it's this contrast that we've talked about so many times on the call that's really helpful in seeing what actually makes us happy and what does not make us happy. So that contrast is very, very useful here. And this radical shift in purpose is what helps us change our minds. Then it goes on. The latter paragraph, that the most recent paragraph that I just read, this is the time for faith. You know, this brings up in me just times where, you know, why would we think that the Holy Spirit would fail us? Why would we think that the Holy Spirit isn't there when the Holy Spirit, we can think of so many examples of evidence, of solid evidence that this is real, and yet we shy away from that or turn away from that at times. So this is the time for faith. It's that time to trust. Holy Spirit is there to, what it says, to purify what he has taken under his guidance. So I'll pause there, and I just want to see if anybody has anything, any reflections or thoughts to share about what we just read.
Hi, it's Pat again.
Please
my
share,
thought when you were talking about, you know, why would we think that the Holy Spirit would fail us now? And, you know, I do that way, way, way too often. And it just dawned on me that I think the reason why is because it doesn't look like I want it to.
Right.
Or that I thought it was going to. You
right.
know, and so he keeps knocking on my door saying, no, 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 no. You know, it has to be this way for it to work and to be holy. And I'm saying, but I want it to be this way.
Right.
And that goes back to what you were saying right from the beginning is I don't know.
Right,
and from that I don't know perspective, that's how you allow the Holy Spirit to show you,
right.
to move you, right?
Absolutely.
And it's trusting that, you know, like I said this morning, just felt like staying in bed and wallowing. And I got very strongly the notion, get out in the garden. Get in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Dirt's good. Dirt is good.
And it was wonderful. It was, all in all, I could have been in here neurosing all day looking at this animal. What would that get the animal? What would that get me, you know? And so from that point of view, you know, all right, that's the message. Get in the garden. And it played itself out beautifully.
It did. It did.
I love the radical shift.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, it's like, boy, let me get this shifted before she changes her mind.
Right. Once we let the Holy Spirit in, that's it. The Holy Spirit's in. Can't push it back out. He's in.
You know, the ego, there's that ego voice in the background. And I watched it. And I watched it. And this, you know, you see, you're making subtle decisions along the way here too, because that ego voice, what, you know, you're asking the Holy Spirit for help. What help? You know, oh, there's nothing. There's no help. And so you just have to, it's that two voices and two choices once again.
Yeah.
What voice am I listening to that says there's no help?
Mm-hmm.
That's such a good reminder. I've been getting that a lot lately.
You know, what voice? What voice am I listening to? And I'm really getting fairly good at times at really, you know, being able to make a quick shift away from that other voice of doom.
Right, right. It's not listening to it. It's the choice to not listen to it and not believe it, because it's when that voice speaks up, and, you know, even if it's the belief in it that's the problem, right? Believing that what it's saying is true, and what you're hitting on, Paula, is so key, because the Course says the ego always speaks first. So it's not that we're going to stop hearing the ego while we're here. It's that we're choosing. We're making a conscious choice to not listen to it, to say, no thanks. This something, I can't remember the example now, but something quite funny, I have to say, happened recently with just the ego saying something. And I was just like, what? Like, no. Like, no, I'm just not going to listen to you. Not going to do it. And it's going to say crazy, insane things. It's going to be that little whisper in our ear. Come
yes.
on. Come back
and
to
it's,
me. Come
it's
back to
background
me.
It's background noise.
It's
background
noise. And if we can just see it and say, nope, not believe in it. I'm going to look at this with Holy Spirit. I'm going to see it as a thought, you know, going by on that driftwood, like you said, Pat. You know, that's beautiful. Just not listening to it, choosing. It's a conscious choice.
There's a choice. But first of all, is really the message of the Course is God's will for you is happiness.
Mm-hmm.
God's, it's how, if God, would God be saying these things if his will for me is perfect peace and happiness?
Right.
I don't think so.
Right.
You know, so that's sort of like the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the bigger picture.
It is.
And, you know, once you really start to get clear on that, then, and practicing, too, becoming the observer of these voices in our head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
right.
That is so big.
It is.
Yeah. That's what Michael Singer said, an untethered soul, you know. Who's saying those things?
Oh, wow. Beautiful. We're at the top of the hour already. So does anybody else have anything to share before we conclude for this week?
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank
yes.
you.
Yes, Meg.
Thank you, everybody.
I would just like to say, Corinne,
please,
you are an awesome facilitator.
Oh, thank you. It's my job to just get out of the way and just hold the space. So, thank you.
you do it wonderfully. And
thank you.
You give us such wonderful insights. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I... this group wouldn't be what it is without you all and your beautiful sharing and your everything that you all bring. So I love you all. Big group hug.
Group hug.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, family. Love
you
all.
Thank you.
Have a great
day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I got hello goosebumps.
Take care, Pat. Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.